This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to the Stories of the Prophets. And we are with session or episode 53. And mashallah, Sister Yasmin, always the first one to log in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me just fix this. There we go. So have people on Facebook right here and Instagram right there. Hope you're all doing great. So let me just give one quick minute for people to join so that we can start inshallah ta'ala. All right. Today with episode 53 from the Stories of the Prophets. We're going to cover quite a few prophets today, inshallah. We're going to cover what happened after the death of Musa alayhi salam, right? So what prophet came in after Musa alayhi salam, for what people? And it's mostly about, you know, Bani Israel and the prophets that were sent to them. So we will cover maybe 3-4 prophets today, inshallah ta'ala, and end with Dawood alayhi salam. And who is Dawood? Why Dawood? Why Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam used to praise the worship of Dawood alayhi salam? Why Dawood is a symbol, the symbol for Renaissance? Why Dawood was an inventor? Why Dawood alayhi salam was special? What made him so special? So inshallah ta'ala we'll cover that. So let's start inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Brothers and sisters, we finished officially the story of Musa alayhi salam. After 21 or 22 sessions talking about Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel, 22 sessions. So today we're episode 53 of the Stories of the Prophets. And within those 53 episodes, there were almost half of them. They're not half, but almost. You know, half were just talking about Musa alayhi salam. Right? Musa alayhi salam. So yesterday we talked about the story of the cow. The story of the cow and how Musa alayhi salam had to deal with, you know, that hardship from Bani Israel, despite all the clear evidences and the miracles and so much that they have seen and so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with, you know, yet Bani Israel had a problem. A lot of them had a problem, and the problem was their aqidah, a problem in their aqidah, a problem in their creed, subhanallah. They had a problem, they had a weakness in their iman, right? So we talked about that story of the cow, that cow that, you know, that young man who killed his uncle, and they were accusing the tribe next to them, you know, of committing that crime. So there was a big, sort of quarrel between the two tribes. And then they approached Musa, of course, to come in and to resolve resolve the conflict that happened between the two tribes. And Musa alayhi salam told them to just, you know, Jibril came to Musa and he revealed to Musa to tell Bani Israel to slaughter a cow. And then came in that arguments with Bani Israel, why a cow? Are you ridiculing us? Are you making fun of us? Ila akhiri, until the end. So, but eventually, when they wanted to slaughter a cow, Allah Azza wa Jalla made it so hard for them. You know, it was supposed to be a simple task, go slaughter a cow. But because they kept arguing, so Allah Azza wa Jalla made it hard for them. And then, you know, eventually when they, found that cow, they had to buy it with 10 times its weight in gold. That cow that belonged to a boy, a righteous boy, whose father passed away. And before the father passed away, told him that the only thing I'm leaving, you know, you guys with, like my inheritance, is this cow. Do not sell it. He told his son not to sell it. So although his son There were so many offers he got, but he refused to sell the cow until, you know, years later, when this incident of the conflict of Ben Israel, where this boy killed his uncle, and Allah Azza wa Jal told them to, you know, slaughter a cow. So they eventually had to buy that cow, slaughter it, and Musa instructed them to take a bone off of that cow and to strike the dead man. And as they stroked that man, that man came back to life. And then he pointed to his nephew who killed him, and he said, "That's the man who killed me." And then he went back and died again, subhanAllah. Before their eyes, another miracle. So Musa alayhi salam died. It was reported that Harun died before him. And it was Musa who buried him. But Musa, before he died, he went to Mecca. And then he performed Hajj, just like the prophets, all the other prophets. He performed Hajj, and then he died, alayhi salam, in an old age. What happened to Banu Israel after the death of Musa, alayhi salam? This is the, our topic of today, insha'Allah ta'ala. You remember that, in fact, before I go to Banu Israel, I want to talk about, you know, a very interesting narration. The Prophet Muhammad, he says, he saw Musa alayhi salam crying. And he asked him, "Wama yubkik? Why are you crying, O Musa?" And then Musa said, "Ghulamun ya'ti min ba'di yattabi'uhu min ummati akthar mimma tabi'ani yadkhulu min ummatihi al-jannah akthar min ummati." He said, when the Prophet asked him, "Why are you crying, O Musa?" He said, O Muhammad, O Prophet of Allah, a boy who will come after me. A boy who will come after me. So a boy who, you know, initially he's a prophet. A boy who will come after me, min ba'di, yattabi'uhu. A lot of people will follow him from Bani Israel. More than my followers. More people will follow him, more than the people who followed me. And more people from his ummah will enter Jannah, more than those who followed me. More than those who followed me. Who is Musa talking about here? Remember when we talked about the trip, the journey that Musa had, you know, with Al-Khidr, when he went to and he met that man who had that knowledge. Musa was accompanied by his servant, and that servant's name was Yusha ibn Nun, Yusha or Joshua. Yusha ibn Nun, the father, or his father's name is Nun. This boy, in fact, his great grandfather is Yusuf alayhi salam. He comes from the progeny of Yaqub. This boy by the name of Yusha or Joshua in English, right? He was that boy actually who went with him in that journey to Al-Khidr. So he is the one now who took after, or who took, you know, after the death of Musa alayhi salam, he is the one who led Banu Israel. He is the one who led Banu Israel, and something really interesting happened to him. Brothers and sisters, he is a boy, and something happened to him that did not happen to any prophet before him or after him. Something amazing happened to this boy, Prophet Yusha. Something that did not happen to any prophet before him, nor any prophet after him. This boy, Yusha ibn Nun, this ghulam, this prophet, Yusha ibn Nun, now his mission is to enter Palestine. Because if you remember, when Musa alayhi salam took Banu Israel out of slavery from Egypt, the mission was to take them to Palestine, right? So on the way, just a few kilometers before entering Palestine, they slacked. They stopped and they did not want to enter Palestine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it prohibited, you know, upon them for 40 years. It is called the 40 years of wonder. The 40 years of wonder, they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. So now came Joshua or Yusha ibn Nun with that mission to take Banu Israel to Palestine. And he trained his people. He trained them for jihad, for struggles and striving. So he took them towards Bayt al-Maqdis, towards Jerusalem, towards Al-Quds. And the people who used to live in Al-Quds at the time were called Al-Amalika. They were giant, you know, strong Palestinian tall people. So in English or in Arabic, when we say Amalika or Imlaq, Imlaq in Arabic means somebody who's giant. Imlaq, giant. So in the plural of Imlaq is Amalika, the giants. These people were not Muwahideen, you know, they were atheists who used to live in Palestine at the time. So what happened was, Yusha ibn Nun, Yusha or Joshua, he took Banu Israel and to conquer Al-Quds, to conquer Jerusalem, right? But those Palestinians at the time, those Amalika, because they were so strong, and you know, they were not, the Yusha ibn Nun and Banu Israel were not able to conquer Al-Quds. So they put Al-Quds under the siege for 6 months. 6 months. And then that siege, brothers and sisters, ended on a Friday. That siege ended on a Friday after Asr. What happened on a Friday after Asr? So, this will be a beautiful, beautiful cliffhanger. But we just started. A beautiful cliffhanger that just started. It's beautiful. What happened after Asr? Yani Asr time. Brothers and sisters, first and foremost, how are you doing? Let me ask you, I haven't asked about yourselves in a long time. I haven't asked how you guys are doing here in Canada. It's they're starting that second wave, unfortunately, in a lot of cities. You know, a lot of cities have been, they've gone back to, zone red, or, you know, and it's not good. It's back, you know, that back to astaghfirullah, square one, after, you know, enjoying going out and the masajid and this and that. So unfortunately, things are back a little bit, you know, one step down, unfortunately. And this was known, actually. They anticipated this at any rate. But how are you guys doing? Alhamdulillah, I hope you brothers on Facebook, those on Instagram, I hope you guys are doing all right. I hope you're staying, you know, safe and healthy, because this thing is not a joke, huh? It's not a joke, you know, so please take it seriously, inshallah ta'ala. The schools as well. The schools, you have to be careful. You know, subhanAllah, the school started, and then some schools are in my neighborhood, alhamdulillah, the school is really, the schools are very, very strict, complying with all the protocols. And in some other schools, in some other regions, it's gone crazy. It's gone really mad. So la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Please take care of yourselves. Don't lose hope. Don't go nuts. Don't be depressed, or don't get anxious, you know, because it's scary. Now we're used to it, aren't we? We're used to it. It's been over 8 months now. Khalas, we live with Corona. Corona has become a friend. Corona has become a friend, man. We're not scared no more. Alhamdulillah. Allah. But do take precautions. Do take your precautions, inshallah ta'ala. Yes. Allahumma lakal hamd. Anyways, so I just wanted to ask and see how you guys are doing before we resume our talk about Joshua, about Yusha ibn Nun. Yusha, the son of Nun, from the progeny of Yaqub, Yusuf alayhima as-salam. So we said that after, you know, he put Al-Quds, Jerusalem, under a siege for 6 months until a Friday where he was, you know, every day there was this, you know, the struggle, you know, the fight, to try to conquer Al-Quds, but they were not able to open the gates of Al-Quds. And the many battles happened, you know, over 12,000, you know, people were dead, you know, it's a fight, it's a battle, it's a war. They're trying to conquer, you know, to conquer Palestine, Al-Quds at the time, you know, Jerusalem. So it's been said that day on a Friday, they were about to conquer. Khalas, they're almost about to open the gates of Al-Quds, But then the sun was setting. And it's a Friday. And if the sun sets, that would mean it will be the start of Saturday. And for the Jews, for, you know, Ben Israel, Saturday, that means Sabbath. The Sabbath, there's no fighting, there are certain restrictions on the Sabbath, you know. So if the sun was to set, then they will have to start all over again the following day. And they will have to wait, you know, until Sunday. But they were almost about to open the gates to Jerusalem. Then Yusha ibn Nun did something amazing. Yusha ibn Nun, the prophet said, he did, you know, he ordered the sun. He addressed the sun. He said, "You are ordered by Allah, and I'm ordered by Allah as well. You do not set." The sun was setting. And then, subhanAllah, all of a sudden, the sun stood still, did not, it was about to, khalas, the sun was setting. But then the sun did not move until they were able to conquer Jerusalem, until they opened the gates. The prophet said that the sun did not move for no prophet before nor after Joshua alayhi salam or Yusha alayhi salam. Yes, indeed. And this story is sound and authentic. He addressed the sun. The sun was about to set. And if the sun was to set, it will become Saturday. And as the Jews, you know, the Ben Israel, there's no fighting on Sabbath. There are certain restrictions that happen on the Sabbath. There's no business dealing. There's no, you know, transactions. There's nothing that happened on the Sabbath. So what he did was he spoke to the sun and he said the sun not to set. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled that command. The sun stood still, wasn't setting, until Yahshua ibn Nun, you know, leading Ben Israel, were able to open the gates to Jerusalem, and they did the fatah, the conquest of Jerusalem by Yahshua ibn Nun. It's amazing, something again that happened to this man. He addressed the sun and commanded to not set. And he told, and we have this in the Quran as well. And then once he was able to open those gates of Jerusalem and enter Jerusalem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 58. Al-Baqarah, ayah number 58. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. As they were able to conquer Palestine, Jerusalem, and open the gates, he told the Israelites to enter Palestine in sujood, making sujood, yani prostration, entering it in prostration in a form of humiliation. You know, in a form of humiliation. Brothers and sisters, I need to ask you a question. Those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, there was a leader who did this when he also conquered Palestine, Al-Quds. Who that leader was who did the same? Yusha ibn Nun, he told Ben Israel, now that we conquered Palestine, before entering Al-Quds, you have to enter making sujood, in sujood, in a form of humiliation, making prostration in a form of humiliation. And not only that, in sujood, وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ, enter the gates, سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ, and say, forgive us, O Allah, and he's seeking forgiveness from our Lord, and the Lord shall forgive you. So enter in a form of, you know, humiliation, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah ad-Din, Sister Fatima, Salah ad-Din did the same thing. Salah ad-Din did the same thing. Sister Fatima said it first on Instagram. Yes, Salah ad-Din, when he conquered Palestine as well, he entered Palestine, he entered Al-Quds, you know, in a form of prostration. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam as well, he did that when he conquered Mecca. Prophet Muhammad, when the conquest of Mecca. The conquest of Mecca, Prophet Muhammad also entered Mecca in sujood, you know, like in ruku', like this. In sujood, in ruku', in prostration, his head down, in a form of humiliation and humbleness, يعني, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they lived in Palestine there and after, happily. But Banu Israel are Banu Israel. The Israelites are Israelites. Nothing has changed. They lived with their prophets for some time. They started deviating again. Their prophet died. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them another prophet, one after another. Allah Azza wa Jal, this time he sent another prophet by the name of Hazqil or Hizqil or Ezekiel or Ezekiel. You know, these are all the names of this prophet, Hizqil. There is not much about this man. There is not much that we know. Nothing has been mentioned, you know, about this man. يعني not much, right? These very small reports that were mentioned about him. But then after the death of Yusha ibn Nun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Hazqil or Hizqil to Banu Israel. A small, very small story that happened to this man. It was narrated by Ibn Ishaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this man as a prophet to Banu Israel. And there was this plague that happened in Palestine as the Israelites, they settled, you know, settled in Palestine. And then and that plague has killed a lot of them, has killed a lot of people. And a lot of them, you know, they perished. So a few centuries passed, and then Hizqil, he passed by, and then he stepped over them wondering. There were a lot of people dead when he came in. He saw a lot of dead people. And then he heard a voice. Do you want Allah to resurrect the, you know, while you watch them? This is really interesting. You know, he heard a voice saying, do you want Allah Azza wa Jal to resurrect these dead? When he came into Palestine, this prophet Hizqil, he heard a voice saying, do you want Allah Azza wa Jal to resurrect the, you know, them while you're watching? Then he was commanded to call those bones to join one another. You know, the bones of the people who were dead. They just became old, you know, like bones. And then before his eyes, the people came back, subhanAllah, into life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 243, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. So Allah Azza wa Jal again is mentioning this story in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 243, when Allah Azza wa Jal put those people to, you know, when they died, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them life again before the eyes of this man, Hizqil. Hizqil, there's not much about him. He stayed with Banu Israel, you know, for many years, and then he died, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another prophet by the name of Elijah, another prophet. And those were all to Banu Israel, one after another. All these prophets were sent to Banu Israel. The Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them one prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Banu Israel, there were so many prophets. In fact, the majority of the prophets were sent to Banu Israel. وَزَكَرِيَّا وَيَحْيَا وَعِيسَ وَإِلْيَاسِ كُلٌّ مِّنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Zakariya, and Yahya, John, and Isa, Jesus, wa Ilyas, kullum min as-salihin, all from the as-salihin, all from the righteous. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regard to Ilyas, wa inna Ilyas la min al-mursaleen, idh qala liqawmihi ala tattaqoon, atad'oon ba'lan wa tatharoon ahsan al-khaliqeen, Allah rabbukum, ورب آبائكم الأولين one more time. The Israelites have deviated one more time. Some of them started, you know, worshiping things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Elias, he told his people, don't you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ala taddaqoon. Don't you fear your God subhanahu wa ta'ala? Atad'una, are you worshipping anything else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wa tadaruna ahsan khaliqin, and you leave the best of the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah rabbukum, Allah your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers subhanahu wa ta'ala. But kadhabu, a lot of them did not believe, of course, in Ilyas alayhi salam. Then Allah azza wa jalla again kept sending prophet after prophet until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this amazing, amazing prophet by the name of Dawood. Brothers and sisters, before Dawood, because I want to spend, you know, maybe a couple sessions with Dawood alayhi salam, David, and how David came, you know, to be as a prophet alayhi salatu salam. By the way, David, Dawood, was mentioned in the Quran 16 times. 16 times, Dawood, David. I want to just talk about a little bit about Dawood before we talk about the story of Dawood. I want to talk about him as a person and what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to say about Dawood. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said in a hadith, and this hadith is narrated by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri. Please listen. This is interesting. Please stick around. Listen to the story of Dawood ﷺ because it's really, really, you know, something amazing about this man. The Prophet Muhammad, he says, I saw a vision yesterday, ru'ya. You know, when he slept, he saw a vision, a dream. And he says, I saw myself praying in front of a tree. I'm reading the Quran. I saw myself praying, and I was facing a tree, and I was reading the Quran, and then came an ayah in the Quran that had sujood in it, that had prostration in it. So I made sujood. When I made sujood, the tree made sujood. That tree made sujood as well. That tree prostrated. It made sujood as well. And I heard the tree making this dua. The tree was saying, Allahumma uktub li laha ajra. Oh Allah, reward me, reward this sujood. Reward me for this sujood. Reward me for my sujood. Now who's making this dua? The tree. The Prophet is hearing the tree making this dua. وَحَطْ عَنِّي بِهَا وِزْرًا, and by virtue of this sujood, forgive my sins. يعني what sins? But the tree is teaching us a dua to make in sujood. Because the tree makes no sin. What kind of sin a tree would make? The tree is a tree. The tree is not a tangible thing. The tree is a tree. The tree is a thing. Right, you know, so the tree is making dua saying, oh Allah, you know, reward me for this sujood, for this sajda, and by virtue of this sajda, you know, forgive my sin. And she said, the tree, she said, وَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي كَمَا تَقَبَّلْتَ مِنْ عَبْدِكَ دَاوُدِ, and accept it from me as you have accepted from your slave, from your servant Dawood. Accept this sajda from me as you have accepted it from your servant Dawood alayhi salam. So this tree has taught us this amazing, amazing dua to say in the sujood. Dawood was an interesting man. Dawood was an interesting person. Dawood was an interesting individual alayhi salat wa salam. There were three people who came to the Prophet Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, listen to this story. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. It's reported in Bukhari. The story is reported in Bukhari. So there were these three people who were so devout, very devout. So they went to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. They wanted to meet the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. One of them said, I will not sleep at night. I will only pray. I will only pray during the night. I will never sleep at night. Khalas, I'm just going to pray the whole night. One of them said, I will never break fast during the day. I will fast for the rest of my life. One man said, I will make qiyam for the rest of my life. The other man said, I will fast for the rest of my life. And the third man said, I will never marry women. What are you thinking, man? What do you mean you never marry women? How can you live without women, man? Huh? Where are the brothers? Where are the brothers? Where is Ali? Where is Hamid Buhush on here on Facebook? Where are the brothers here on Instagram? This Sahabi said. One Sahabi said. One companion said, I will never sleep for the rest of my life. I will always make qiyam. And the other one said, I will always fast during the day for the rest of my life. And the third one said, I will never marry women for the rest of my life. And so you tell me, guys, Sister Fatima, do you agree with this guy? He says, I will never marry women. Can you live without a woman? If you say yes, then you got a problem, man. Huh? Guys, talk to me. Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. Rani. Okay, Rani. Rani. Rani would love to tell me something, but Miskin, he's chained now. He is chained now. Miskin, he's chained. You know, if he says something, he will get a slap in his face or maybe a tap in the back or maybe a punch or maybe a hook or maybe an elbow. Maybe an elbow, huh, Brother Rani? Brother Rani, can we possibly live without women? Can we? Absolutely not. Yani, Rani said, absolutely not. Oh, man. How can you live without women? No, you cannot. No, we cannot. They cannot live without us, and we cannot live without them. This is, Allah has made this. Allah has made this sunnah on earth. All right, it is sunnah on earth. Allah has made it for us to marry one another, for us to live with one another, right? Men and women. For us to live with one another, for us to, you know one another. Allah Azza wa Jal is al-witr, the one and only. Allah does not need any partner, but He has made His servants, like you and I, to need partners. To need partners. You cannot live alone. You cannot survive alone. You need that partner to compete with you. No, not to compete. To complete you. Not to compete. To complete you, Ya Hamid. To complete you, not to compete with you. Anyways, so these three men, they came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, khalas. You know, one of them said, I will never sleep at night. I will always, you know, wake up the whole night and pray. The other one said, I will never break fast during, you know, for the rest of my life. And the third one said, I would not marry women. And then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam says, I'm your prophet. I sleep and I wake up. I fast and I break my fast. I fast and I break my fast. And I marry women. This is my sunnah. If you deviate from my sunnah, you're not from me. If you deviate from my sunnah, you're not from me. So one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm very energetic. I love to fast. Then the Prophet told him, then you can fast 3 days every month. You know, 3 days every month, 13, 14, 15 of every month. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, I've got the energy. I can do more. Then the Prophet says, okay, you know, add maybe Mondays and Thursdays. The man said, I can do more. Then the Prophet says, then fast 2 days and break fast 1 day. Fast 2 days and break fast 1 day. You know, 2 days, 2 days on, 1 day off. 2 days on, 1 day off. 2 days on, 1 day off. The man says, Ya Rasulullah, I've got that energy. I can do more. Then the Prophet says, that's it. You can, you know, the best is 1 day you fast and 1 day you break fast. 1 day you fast and 1 day you break your fast. That means 1 day on, 1 day off. He says, this is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. The best type of fasting is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. He used to fast 1 day and break fast the other day. Allahu Akbar. The fasting of Dawood. Afdal al-Siyam. The Prophet said, Afdal al-Siyam. The best form of fasting is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. He would fast 1 day and he would break fast the other day. And the best qiyam is the qiyam of Dawood alayhi salam. The best qiyam The best night, you know, the prayer, you know, the, at night is the Qiyam of Dawood. The Prophet says he would, you know, he would, Dawood alayhi salam, kana yanamu nisf al-layl. He would sleep the half of the night, and then he would stand up and pray the third of the night, and then he would sleep again the sixth of the night. This is Qiyam of Dawood alayhi salam. The best type of Qiyam and the best type of fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. His time was very, very organized. Allah, what did he used to do? You know what did he used to do? He used to wake his family up, and he used to tell, قُومُوا يَا آلَ دَاوُودِ فَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ فَهَدِي سَاعَةُ إِجَابَةٍ. He used to say, oh, Al Dawood, oh, the family of Dawood, and who's from his family? Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman is the son of Dawood, and we will talk about this, inshaAllah ta'ala. Right, we will talk about it. So he used to wake his family up, and he used to tell them, "Qumu, stand up, ala Dawood, the family of Dawood, get up, get up. Fasallu, pray at night. This hour is a blessed hour. Is an hour whereby the du'a is granted. Of course, the salah was not like our salah today. You know." The salah was not like our form of prayers today, but they used to make their own prostration. They raise their hands for dua. They used to make their own ruku' and their own sujood. But it's not the same as our salah today, because our salah came at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they have their own, you know, they had their own form of salah. Like Isa alayhi salam, he also used to prostrate. It's been narrated that Isa alayhi salam also used to prostrate, you know, on the floor, on the ground, when he used to pray. So they had their prayers. And Dawood alayhi salam used to wake his family up to pray. Alayhi salatu salam. One day Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, he was late at night walking around, and then he passed by the house of Ibn Mas'ud. And then he heard Ibn Mas'ud reciting the Quran at night. He was reciting the Quran at night, and Ibn Mas'ud had a beautiful voice. A very, very beautiful voice. And the Prophet sat down and started listening to his recitation. And then in the morning when he saw Ibn Mas'ud, he says, you've been blessed with one of the voices of Dawood. Dawood alayhi salam used to have a beautiful voice. It's been reported that he used to have 70 different types of voices when he used to recite, you know, and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that that birds and mountains would sway when he used to praise the Lord and recite from the Zabur, from the, you know, the divine book that he was blessed with. Dawood alayhi salam. He was a very unique man. He was a very special man. Dawood used to eat from his own hands, whatever he used to make. And he was an inventor, by the way. He invented something that no prophet has ever invented. He invented something that no man has ever invented. He invented something that saved lives of so many people. Huh? Yes. This man Dawood, this prophet Dawood, this is why Prophet Muhammad used to talk a lot about him and about his ibadah, right? About him and about his ibadah. He invented something that saved so many lives. What did he invent? He had power. Yes, he had power. What kind of power did he have? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to him when people would come to him and ask to solve their problems? Because he had, you know, that was in fact, you know, his job as well. Not only to do ibadah, but also had time to spend with his, you know, with the people who was leading to solve them. The first man, Dawood, who was a king, a ruler, and a prophet. The first ruler, prophet. No king before him was a ruler and a prophet. The first king prophet is Dawood alayhi salam. So he was a powerful man, a strong boy, strong man, and very, very devout, very, very committed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing, like I said, you know, in his ibadah, amazing in his dealing with people, in the way he was to solve problems, alayhi salam. What's gonna happen to him? What is he gonna invent? How is he going to raise his son, Sulaiman? How many wives did he have? Huh? Yes, how many wives did he have? one? Well, in Islam, four? Did he? How many wives did David have? We'll talk about that as well, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, bi-idhnillah, to talk about, you know, more about him as a person than to talk about his story and what happened to Bani Israel and how did he come? Because people, he used to live with another prophet and he was not known, but he was going to do something. He was going to do something that would reveal his identity. David, Dawood, alayhi salam. We'll talk more about him tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Azakum Allah khair, sisters and brothers. Thank you for joining. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. I will hope to see you, or I hope to see you tomorrow, inshallah. I hope to really hear you tomorrow and talk more about the story of Dawood, and then eventually the story of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Barakallahu fikum. Azakum Allah khair. And Riyad Warzazi, checking out. Jazakum Allah khair again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, you take care. Brothers on Facebook, sisters on Facebook, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Thank you for joining. Brothers and sisters on Instagram, thank you. Jazakum Allah khair for joining. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.